Welcome. Thank you all for coming out today, even though the roads were a little slippery. Thank you for coming and welcome. It is great to be back in Alaska. I know I was here last week, but I think I must have still been on North Carolina time or something. But just being back for a week in Alaska has been awesome. And that first snow, and in our prayer this morning, Robert talked about the glistening white and the purity and the reborn nature and how wonderful it is to have that light reflecting off the snow. And it is. It's great to be back in Alaska. So I wanted you to know how glad I am to be here. The title of my talk today is The Fire Walk. And I'm going to talk about three things. First, I'm going to talk about circulation. Then I'm going to ask Robert to come up and talk a little bit about a prosperity consciousness. And then I'm going to talk about the fire walk that I did back in North Carolina. But first of all, circulation. It's a simple concept. It's really very, very much like the rest of our teaching. It's simple, but not necessarily easy. But everything in the universe is constantly in circulation. You know, on a micro scale, electrons revolve around a nucleus. On a larger scale, our planets all circulate around a star or a sun. You know, all of these suns circulate around in the galaxy. And our galaxy is only one of billions of galaxies that are all circulating around the universe. But it's not just limited to stars and planets and whatnot. Even within our world here, it's constant circulation. Every time you take in a breath, you bring in oxygen and you exhale carbon dioxide. Meanwhile, plants are absorbing that carbon dioxide and emitting oxygen. The rain, we have, you know, clouds, condensation rises from the oceans and lakes, and it comes over the land and falls as rain, which then flows into the rivers and goes back to the ocean. It's a constant circulation. The same thing is true with money and finance. Paul Samuelson, who's probably best noted, he's really the father of modern economics. He wrote a textbook that was in publish for 46 years. Three generations of people studying economics read the Paul Samuelson text. And one of the things that he talked about in there is that a unit of currency will revolve and will circulate within an economy seven times. What a boost to the Alaska economy the permanent fund dividend is. Even though a lot of that money gets spent outside it, you know, online shopping and whatnot, or gets spent on airline tickets to go to a warmer climate, a lot of it is spent right here in Alaska. And every bit of that goes back through this economy seven times. What a gift. And the reason that I'm talking about circulation today and what all that has to do with that is that this is the time of year, the one and only time that we ask for your financial support. So if you're new, we don't talk about money every week, I promise you. And we don't ask for money every week. We do pass the hat, though. but it is my belief as the senior minister here, that it is our responsibility to earn your financial support. And the way that we do that is by executing our mission statement. And our mission is to teach spiritual transformation. A good example of that was yesterday. The center was filled yesterday. I think there were over 20 people in here for centering prayer. What an example of stepping into spiritual transformation. And while that was going on, we had the foundations class was doing their affirmative prayer treatment workshop. And what a powerful experience that was. We had six people sit in that class, look at some of the things in their life that they would like to change. I heard Linda say that she's got a lot of issues. And that just struck me. I don't know.
We'll speak afterwards.
And she wasn't at the treatment workshop, by the way. Took an opportunity to look at those things in their life that they would like to maybe change or look at against, and able to reframe those and put that in a positive light in a way that can manifest a positive change, a spiritual transformation. And that's how we go about asking for and earning your financial support. And so now I would like to invite Robert Wallace to come up. Robert is a longtime practitioner. He generally is known for working with our youth. He works with the school age kids. And so he doesn't get out in the sanctuary very often. And so I would like to invite Robert Wallace up. Please join me, Robert. And he's going to talk to us a little bit about prosperity consciousness. Thank you, Robert.
Do I have a microphone?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hello.
I would like to talk today about my growth in prosperity consciousness. When I first came to the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living in 2003, I was recovering from a serious closed head injury. And I had some damage upstairs where I didn't have a good memory. I didn't have the ability to use my logic. And I was a bit befuddled, and I'd get upset and anxious when I couldn't think or say things right. And somebody said, come here to the center. You need to meet my friends. And I came and never left. That's the short story on that. And I took foundations class, took all the classes, and I started with foundations. And our reverend at the time, Reverend Guy, was leading that training, and we were talking about how we were doing in our lives, and I started complaining about not having a job. My wife had left me. I wasn't able to raise my kids, and I had child support payments I couldn't pay because I didn't have a job, and I didn't feel too good, and I just couldn't give any money to the church. And I couldn't pay my bills. And Reverend Guy looked at me and he said, Robert, you used to be cheap. And then he didn't say anything else. And I thought, why is he saying that? And I felt the shift. It was like he spit in my soup. There was no way I could make those excuses anymore. So then I proceeded to get a job and have a dissolution agreement that was acceptable to us, and visit my children, and start taking the classes to become a practitioner, and I became a practitioner. And I remember meeting with Reverend Marquita. Who remembers Reverend Marquita? Raise your hands. Okay, we remember Reverend Marquita. Well, you know that Reverend Marquita didn't mince words. And we had a talk about prosperity consciousness and what it meant to be loyal and supporting as a minister. And you can imagine what some of that talk was about. And I started making excuses with her. And God bless her, she didn't buy a one of them. And she told me, she said, you owe this to yourself. You need to step up into prosperity consciousness in order for you to be happy and healthy and successful, and to be able to help other people be happy, healthy, and successful as a practitioner. And I left that with that in my mind, and I decided at that point, and I started tithing. And I had a friend who's Alaska Native and a real mover and shaker in the Alaska Native movement, and she would chide me and say, why are you tithing at church? They're just taking your money. Churches just take your money. And I said, and I couldn't believe it came out of my mouth. I said it, but I heard myself say it. And I said, Gwen, I can't afford not to. And you know, and what I meant was, I can't afford not to stay in prosperity consciousness. Because this works for me. And I'm going to give you a very short story how a week ago, how this worked for me. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I work with youth in a mental health clinic. And I'm a and as an LPC, we have to come up for license renewal every 2 years. And last year, when I went up for my practitioner license, I thought I had to come up and do my renewal for my professional license as well. And I didn't. And I had all the trainings I needed. I had everything checked off. And I go, oh, darn, I'll just save them for next year. Well, this year, when it came up on time, I didn't realize that the trainings, the continuing education units I was claiming were a year old, and I couldn't use them. Now I'm 24 hours short, and I can't relicense. I'm going, oh my God, goodness, if I can't relicense, I can't work, I can't bill with the kids I work with. I'm supervising an intern who is the same age as my middle daughter, so I do feel kind of paternal towards him, but he is hot. And you know, some of these people have it. Robin has it. He really does. And so I'm so excited to be able to be his mentor. But that would all end. And I'm just going, oh. And I realized on a Thursday, and I called him in. And I said, Robin, I'm bleeped. And I used to be a construction worker. So you can imagine what I said. And Robin was so concerned. He goes, oh, in the agency I work with, my day job, he says, we've been doing some trainings. I'll see if I can get some hours for you. And he was going to rustle around to see what he could do to help me. And then I sat there after everyone else left from work, and I'm still sitting there, and I'm going, okay, what am I going to do? And you know what my choice was? My choice was, do I fall into fear consciousness and lack and just say that my life's ruined? I can't work anymore. I'm going to have to retire. I'm going to have to just step down. I can't do what I do. Am I going to go that way? Or am I going to step up into prosperity consciousness? And I remember that it's tempting not to, but I remember making that decision, that shift, as I sat in front of my computer and I said, okay, this is an opportunity. And I turned on the computer and I got on the web, and we have PESI, P-E-S-I, who does most of our trainings for us nationwide. And I looked up all the trainings in the next 3 weeks, because my deadline was Halloween. I have to have 24 hours by Halloween, and they have out of 40. So I get on the web, and I start looking at trainings, and I'm going all the different kinds, all the different ways, and all the different subjects, and all the different states, all over the United States. And I found a couple in Sacramento, California, where I used to use. I went to UC Davis and lived in Sacramento, California. So I thought I could do that in the same hotel 2 days in a row. And I looked in Portland where my sister lived, and I found a couple trainings, and I put them together. I said, well, those could work if I could get flights that would match that, but let's just put them down. So the next day I went home and got a good night's sleep. I felt good about it. And I went home, I went to work the next day, and I told my boss, I says, I have a real serious problem and a solution. And she goes, I like solutions. So I made an appointment to talk to her, and I went and talked to the manager, and I says, okay, here's what I'm doing, Cherie. I need to get these trainings, I need to get these flights and put this all together and stay with my sister. And she said, well, have you called your sister yet? And I said, no. She goes, oh, okay, so this is all up in the air, isn't it? So she said, let me get my phone out, and she does what we do. She got her phone out, and she's a master with this. And she goes, Alaska Airlines, huh? And we started looking. And as we talked, she found the flights for the trainings for me to go triangle to Sacramento, to Portland, and back up here. And she found the flights for them, and she found them at a cheap rate. And she booked them, and we paid for them right there in her office. So then I'm going, okay, now I know I have the flights. I can go try to get the trainings. I went to my computer, or I made the telephone call, and they booked me the trainings, and they told me what it would cost. I'd get a discount because somebody else from our state had booked those too. She said, I'll consider you a group, so I'll give you the group rate. And she gave me the group rate. Now we're trying to sell this to my CEO, who's very cheap. I mean, he manages his funds very well. And so I'm asking him to pay my relicensure fee. I'm asking him to pay for these trainings, and I'm going to pay my travel, which turned out to be real reasonable. And so we started putting this together, and we had to send in the forms to the office, the headquarters, and he sent them back approved, and everything came together, and nobody said, Robert, you bleeped up. Nobody said that to me, but I had, you know, I hadn't realized. And the upshot of that is that everybody showed their appreciation for me, and it made us stronger, and it improved my relationships at work. and I'm going to get a week off, and I'm leaving tomorrow.
Thank you, Robert. What a testimony to this concept of a consciousness of abundance. Next, I'm going to talk about the firewalk, and I imagine you're wondering, what does this firewalk have to do with circulation and prosperity? The firewalk is a perfect metaphor for life. Part of our instructions were to stand at the edge of the fire pit, and we'll talk more about that later. But, and you ask yourself, is this mine to do? And if the answer is yes, then you proceed. But if it's, I don't know, or no, or I don't know, that means you don't do it. The key is you don't look down. You don't look at the hot coals. And the metaphor for life is if we look across at the person that's at the other end, if we look at the objective, if we look at the truth, a spiritual truth at the end, and we focus on that spiritual truth, we ignore the conditions that are below us, we can do anything. We can even walk across fire. That is the metaphor. But the experience. I went down that night with the firm intention of not doing it. I'd already passed my ordination panels. I didn't have anything to prove to anybody. I didn't have to do this. I went in support of Ann and wanted to do it. My thought, you gotta be nuts to go walk across a bed of hot coals voluntarily. No way am I going to do that. We arrived on time, which is kind of rare for us, but we did. We arrived on time, and we spent the next 2.5 hours being terrorized. John Waterhouse got up and scared us. He told us, some of you won't do it. Of course, what I heard is, some of you with lower consciousness won't do it. He said, hardly anybody ever gets hurt. Only those of you with lower consciousness. He didn't say those things, but that's what I heard. And then he says, do not do certain things, like look down. And then we went outside and built the fire. We went out and everybody was instructed to pick up a split piece of wood. It happened to be cherry wood, which I learned later why. And everybody had this piece of wood, and we all stood around in a circle, and he had a big old eagle feather, and he had a really big thing of sage, and he went through and he smudged every piece of wood that we had. We blessed every piece of wood. And then we laid it all out in a long, like railroad tracks. And then we laid it on top of it, like the ties. Then he put in some straw. And then he used a little old Indian fire starter made by Blazo. And then he put a match to it. And that was the fire. That was right when he started. And that is exactly what that looked like. We followed all of his instructions, and when we were done, we all went back into the social area for more instructions. And I wrote down some of the things that he told us. He said, the fire is now at 1,650 degrees Fahrenheit. When it burns down a little bit, it will be about 1,250 degrees when we go back outside to to walk the fire. And then he noted that is just the enough temperature to melt an aluminum engine block in a car. He gave us some other really great tips, reasons to do it, reasons not to do it. And one reason he says that is a definite not good reason to do it is just because everybody else is doing it. You don't want to do that just because everybody else is. And about the time I think that some of the people were on the fence one way or the other, whether we're going to walk or not, they came through with these pads, legal forms, and there are these release forms, hold harmless forms. And that really put a damper, I think, on it. There were 174 people signed up for the conference, and I think about 150 of them were ministers. The rest were spouses and whatnot. I think there were about 100 people there that night. So, you know, over half of the people actually showed up. And of the number of people that actually walked, I thought it was going to be everybody but me. No, I think only about half of the people walked. I think about 50 people finally walked. So that gives you an idea of the number of people. We signed the release forms. I turned mine back in. I said, oh, I'm not going to sign that. And Barbara Waterhouse says, sign the form. I said, I'm not going to walk. I'm not going to do this. Sign the form. Why? You might change your mind. Yeah, right. I'm going to change my mind. So I signed the form. Once again, look at the person on the other side, which happened to be John Waterhouse. Focus on John Waterhouse. Don't look down. And it's really simple. Focus on the quality of God that you want in your life. Don't look down at the conditions. If you spend your life looking down at the conditions, you're going to burn your feet. Don't look down. Know where you are going. So then, back out we go again. And now the fire has burned down somewhat. It's not quite that high, but it's, you know, the logs have fallen in and it's there. And they told us to take off our shoes and socks. Well, I wasn't doing it, but Don the sheep, I follow along with everybody else. We get out there. Now, there weren't any chairs out there. So here I am standing on one foot trying to take off my shoes, trying to be a good boy and go along with everybody else. So I get my shoes off, and then I was afraid somebody's going to steal my shoes, so I hit him over by the pile of wood. I don't know who'd want to steal my old shoes, but so then you take off your shoes and socks and you get there. And then you got to roll your pants up because, boy, you don't want to have your pants down there near that fire. I'm serious. A lot of the, you know, lady ministers, they like to wear those long flowing robes and stuff. Boy, they got those robes hiked up, I'll tell you. And then about, well, everybody's taking off their shoes and stuff. See, I'm not pulled up enough. You got to be higher than that. John Waterhouse gets out there with a rake, and he rakes all these coals, and he gets it down into the place where you've got this glowing bed of embers right there in front of you. And then per our instructions, you know, you walk up to the edge. Is this mine to do? And Waterhouse was the first one across it. And then as the next minister got up, and it was Cliff Rubin. You guys remember Cliff Rubin? Yeah. He's the one that came up and helped us with our mission, purpose, vision statements. Cliff was next. And as Cliff stepped up there, just spontaneously, organically, somebody started singing. And there's 100 ministers singing, There Is Only Love. And as that went on, I sat there and I knew I wasn't going to do this. But for some reason, known only to me and to God, I decided to do it. And I walked down to the end. Ann had just gone in front of me, and I stood at the end of that, And I ask myself, is this mine to do? And it was as clear as could be. Yes. And I looked at the other end and I saw John Waterhouse.
There is only
after every person walked, all the other ministers clapped and cheered. And when the ministers that got to the edge and did not get that definite yes, and they turned and stepped back, they got an equal applause. This is just like life. Sometimes we let our intellectual minds take over. The object of our desire is standing right in front of us with open arms and loving us. And we look down and stop. Often we don't know what we really want. When we get up to the fire of life, we look at the coals and back away. Some people have the courage, but halfway through, they stop and they look down. And that's when we get burned. But the truth of the matter is, and I want to go back to the sacred reading. The truth of the matter is, our spiritual DNA gives us everything it takes to bring our dreams into fruition. Once we become open enough to feel the pull of our dreams, it ignites a passion that gently nudges us forward. We are no longer content to play small. What I want everyone to take away today, we've been given the ability to determine and define the values that we want to experience in our lives. Once we establish those values, the rest is easy. If we believe that we are beings of love, then we can focus on that love and not look down at fear, and we can walk across the coals of separation and hatred. If we believe in equality, gender equality, racial equality, sexual preference equality, if we believe in equality, we can focus on that and not allow feelings of superiority by someone else dampen us. Allow someone else to make us focus on the coals below. If we believe that children should have food, then let us focus on that and not on lack and limitation and not enoughness. If we believe in peace, then we need to embrace peace. We need to be peaceful in our own lives and not focus on distrust and separation and preparations for war. The majority of humanity does not do this very well, and so it is up to us. We can release our linear mind and surrender to a higher power. And I'll close with another line from the sacred reading. Remembering that the greatest love of all is leading the way, we stay the course, willing to follow. Even when we have no idea what we're doing, our sometimes very clumsy best is good enough. And so it is with our awareness of the guidance of that inner power, of that higher power, that I invite my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in embracing our congregation in love and light, and simply knowing that as we navigate this thing called life, that we do so with the firm conviction that we can do anything. We can walk across hot coals. We can do the seemingly impossible. That all of the effects of the world, lack and limitation, financial challenges, health issues, relationship issues, are all effects. Those are all of the coals that are at our feet. The spiritual truth is that we live in an abundant universe. The spiritual truth is that we live in a world of love, that we live and we are part of a God of love, and that that God of love is within each and every one of us. And every relationship is already blessed. It is already perfect in every way. And that we have been made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, our physical plant is exactly perfect what it needs to be at this and in every moment. And so I just give thanks now. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and presence of God in our lives. I give thanks for the truth that is. I give thanks for the love on the other side of the fire pit. And so it is.